What if I introduce you guys?
Go for it.
Let's do it.
Hi, my name is Ryan Ling. I created everything.
I'm out of here.
And everybody has to be somebody different in the room.
Well, who are you? Okay.
I was you.
My name is Jessamay Peluso.
And what's so fabulous about you?
I have golden locks of love.
And, you're an amazing impressionist.
Yeah.
It's so good.
The Daryl Hammond of the Guy Code.
I'm
offices.
My name is Jessamay Peluso, and I'm a stand-up comedian from Syracuse, New York.
Did you just check your notes, Ryan?
No, I have no notes.
Okay. I thought you just checked
the
notes.
The Ryan's notes. Ryan McKee's notes. I'm not Ryan McKee.
So there's no one left in the room for me to be.
Oh, God. That's right. This number's so. Do you want to just pick your favorite one and go with it?
I could be Andy Stuckey. Hello, this is Andy Stuckey, director of Guy Code.
But then you have a small penis.
Oh, we already went there.
I can pretend for an hour.
I'm excited for today. I feel like things fell off the rails.
What happened?
By you walking in the door.
Wait, really? I like set it all off?
I don't know. We had our Guy Code, Girl Code, Guy Court crew party last night.
Aww.
I felt better.
Where was it at?
Down the street at an Irish
bar. That's not a location.
Which doesn't narrow it down.
That's like everywhere down the street.
Yeah.
Did you get drunk?
Why are there so many Irish bars in Midtown?
I don't know.
It's not really necessary.
It's like a circus around here.
I think it's because it's like what tourists like. They go to New York and they're like, let's go to an Irish pub.
Let's go to McCaffrey's.
That's what it was all. I mean, that was always what I thought.
It's like, you know what I'm in the mood for? A Guinness and some shitty chicken fingers.
Let's go see those Irish people in Times Square. You guys want to go to McGillicuddy's and get a nice Guinness beer?
That'd be nice.
Let's go look at them.
Let's go to the big city and go to McCaffrey's pub and get a nice cold brew.
Ooh, Olive Garden. Never mind.
Oh my God. Red Lobster. Forget it. They've got international cuisine.
Got that teriyaki salmon steak.
Do you know if you did anything embarrassing last night at the party?
I put on one of our editor's wedding rings.
I don't know if that's embarrassing or
just... It's not embarrassing. I didn't know what it meant.
Male or female?
I think it was male. It's one of our most seasoned Guy Code editors.
Skeletor?
No.
Oh.
It's Will Velasquez.
Oh, Velasquez. Yeah. He's got pit bulls.
He does.
Yep.
And a
lovely
wedding
wife
ring.
That yep. He might have unmarried by. What does that mean when you
that
take
means now you guys are in love.
Yeah, yeah.
And him and his wife have to walk around a table backwards. They're divorced. And you guys have just stepped into a life of holy gay matrimony.
Gay matrimony.
So get ready to
now I have two
take
kids,
it in.
Which is fun because they're like they know how to poop themselves.
His wedding ring fit your finger?
No, it was really big. I have
I'm
skinny
eating
fingers.
One Cheez-It. You have little fingers, Ryan.
No, they're skinny. They're very
they're long, but skinny.
Yeah. See that?
We just held hands.
Yep.
Can you palm a basketball?
I don't know. I haven't tried in a
while. What's the biggest boob you've palmed?
just a B. Just
come
a
on.
That's the biggest boob?
No, I think.
You haven't had big. Come on, you've had tiggle bitties.
Yeah, I think like double D's.
Ew.
I think.
Have you ever dated a girl with fake boobs?
I've not dated a girl with fake boobs.
Oh, hooked up with one?
He porked one.
Only one, and it was actually a year ago.
Did they feel really fake?
Yeah.
I think I had one with a like bad boob job or something because they were just like rock hard and not fun to
it
touch at all.
It takes me out of the game, to
yeah.
be honest.
Is it weird? Like, do you guys like the look of them, though? Like, what? There's obviously a whole epidemic with the fake tit thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like girls, it's usually the first thing they want to fix, their nose and their tits.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys like the way they look? You just like the way they feel?
I mean, if it's a good-looking boob, I don't care if it's real or fake.
So just one boob has to be good-looking?
Yeah.
They can have an ugly sister?
It would be horrible.
If you have two good-looking boobs...
then you're in love.
Then I'm in love. Then
what do they feel like? I don't even know.
Just not
like.
Real.
Like over... Like a basketball that has too much air in it.
Yeah.
That's what I... It was
that
just like,
hard?
Yeah, rock
inside
hard.
Inside like a bag of skin. So, not like
that
a
was
leather,
serial
like a
killer
basketball.
Way to respond. Yeah. Inside a bag of skin with eyeballs and hair.
Which makes it sound like a scrotum.
So you just described a ball sack.
No, I don't know. I knew they were fake going in, and I think I was like so curious
and
about it. So I was like too focused on them being fake. But yeah, they were really hard. And the nipples weren't pointing in the right direction.
Oh no, see that's what I would be like so angry about. If you change the direction of my nipples.
Yeah.
It's not like a street corner sign that you can just adjust one way this way, one way that way.
Yeah.
That would be my biggest fear.
They look like wall-eyed.
Yeah.
Suddenly. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there's probably great boob jobs out there.
Oh, well.
So.
We just look at half of Hollywood. Jennifer Aniston.
She's
ones.
Got a great boob job.
You think she has?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those girls get stuff done. They act so coy. I feel fine in my skin. You feel fine in your skin because half of what's in your skin is not biodegradable.
Would you get plastic surgery?
Absolutely.
What would you get? She's just waiting for those royalty checks to come in. And then
yeah, just waiting for that. Waiting for the season three.
I feel like all girls are secretly down for plastic surgery.
I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence. Just because... you see what happens on the tail end of it, and it's usually not so good.
That's what's funny now, because plastic surgery's been around long enough that you're like, oh.
You're like, oh, that's what happens when it stops looking good. Wow. You look like Vincent Price.
I feel
Price.
Like you have to, if you're a female, you have to do it before you really get into the public eye. Like, if you did it now, there would be a story. Like,
yeah.
You know.
People be like, oh, look, Jessie Mae got 45 triple Ds. Exactly. Those weren't natural. She
very distracting on stage now.
Huge boobs, and it would look so strange.
It would look so weird.
Because you're like tall and skinny.
I watched a special. What's her name? Heidi Montag.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I watched a special about her, and I mean, that's like, so many girls want to do that though. They want to do that extreme everything. That scares the fuck out of me. Can I say fuck?
You can say fuck. I just said it. Whatever the fuck you want.
That scares the fuck. That so many girls want to do it. Why does that weird you out?
Because it means that there's like a paradigm shift in like social conscious when it is pertaining to the image of a woman. And that's scary that it's like changing so much that all girls that I know want to alter their bodies permanently.
Hmm.
That's kind of it's kind of sad.
I think
I didn't mean to bring the room down.
No, I think it's short-sighted.
Because you like fake titties?
When people treat their body like fashion.
Yeah.
They're like, big boobs are in right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, what happens when they're not?
Right. Because they won't be.
Well, that was like the tattoo, the big tattoo trend when everybody was just going nuts for a while.
Yeah.
Getting like, tramp stamps?
Yeah.
Guilty.
What'd you get?
I've turned it into a back piece.
What?
What was the original stamp?
Tibetan Sanskrit. So it's
Sanskrit?
Like, that's a little classier than Chinese characters.
It is.
A little classier. It's a little more, but it's still equally as trashy.
What did it say?
Om. Those are the sounds of the universe, according to Joseph Campbell.
So Om, just right above your butt.
Right above my butt.
And then what
the sounds of the universe are directly above my ass crack.
Which makes sense.
Right?
Yeah, because you fart more than any girl I know.
Does it ever smell? Come on!
No, I don't think it does.
See, it doesn't. You've never been stuck in my fart cloud?
No.
My fart clouds are clear. They're nice. They're not like, you know,
they're not abrasive.
Pharmaceutical runoff. It's like a nice.
They never smell, not once.
Very rarely, because I eat usually really healthy. If I fart today, this will make me smell. This Cheez-Its. Yeah, I usually don't eat this stuff. It has to do with all the stuff that you eat, I think.
Garlic's healthy, but it also.
Garlic can change your butt life.
I've always wondered this about farts, if I'm the only one. If you eat a great meal.
Okay.
And then you fart. Like the next day, and it smells exactly like that meal. It's okay to enjoy that, right?
Did that happen? Because that sounds like a fairy tale.
It happens often.
Who's cooking for you?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
that's happened to me once in a while, but I haven't been like, oh, I want that meal again. Yeah.
I mean,
like that does kind of smell like what I ate last night.
And nobody walks into a room like, oh, this room smells like a meal.
Wow, who's cooking
like
meal?
A meal that your
here.
Asshole cooked.
Smells like Marlon and Sons. That brick chicken. Mm.
See, that happens to me only when I eat Indian food. Ask Laura Murphy about that one.
I will.
She.
Let's get her in here.
We'll have
right
to have
now.
Her back on just to ask her.
We had Indian food, and I normally don't eat Indian food, and then I drove home, and I hotboxed myself. It was so bad. It was so bad that I was gagging and laughing, and I had to call her to yell at her. She's like, what's the matter? I'm like, I am in my Indian food fart cloud because of you right now, and I can't even see. I needed to put the defogger on the windows because it was just vile.
Your farts and usually don't stink, though.
They don't.
You're right.
If you have, yeah, but if they smell real bad and you have the heater on
in the car,
I feel like that's the worst. And then it'll come back out next time you're in your car.
Oh, God, it gets stuck in the seats.
So I'm telling you. Or like just in the air.
You never want to, well, I never want to fart after I take a shower because it makes me feel like I'm dirty again.
Yeah.
Because like you take like a nice hot shower and then you fart at the end of it.
You're like, oh man.
Like, God damn it.
I was walking in the park and this lady walked by and she farted so loud. She didn't even claim it. She didn't say anything. She just like nodded and kept going.
You know who farts the most? And I know this Stucky. From experience. Deaf kids.
That would be a hilarious tweet.
How do you know this from experience?
Because I did this documentary series for MTVU at a deaf college in Washington, D.C. It's called Gallaudet University. And when I took the job, I was like, oh, my God, I wonder if they fart a lot.
You really thought that?
That was your first question.
That was like my first.
Because I've never heard it?
Very preoccupied
it's
by
farting. It's just a feeling. A fart is just a feeling to a deaf kid.
It's a feeling like to poetry. Me, too.
And it can be a smell. But so I was filming in a classroom. And their classes, they sit in a semicircle, so they can see each other's sign. And kids just farting
ripping
everywhere.
It.
Yeah.
Were you laughing?
Fucking hilarious. Yeah, I was laughing.
Were you like audibly
and, like,
laughing?
And like walking,
like to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And walking around campus, you would just hear farts. So, yeah. Just think about that, guys.
That sounds like my family.
I really learned
dinner.
Something today.
Yeah. We got real, real.
If any deaf kids are listening, just
we are putting out the podcast in Braille now.
Tell us about your fart
if
stories.
If any deaf kids are listening, that's nailed it. Cruel and hilarious.
Just doing some hack shit jokes right now, guys. Trying to impress a stand-up comedian.
I had a story to tell you, Ryan, that, and I wanted to get your advice. Okay, so Sunday night we did the Guy Code Bloggers show, and Kevin Barnett did it and like crushed and did really well. And I had a little too much to drink at the show, and at like the end when he came up to say goodbye to me, I was like drinking water, and he went down the wrong tube, and I started coughing into my hand, and he was like, oh, I was just coming to say goodbye, and just out of reflex, I go to shake his hand that I just coughed into. And he's like, yo, I just saw you cough into that hand. But I was kind of drunk, and I had to like try to justify it. I was like, oh, no, I'm not sick. That was just water. Went down the wrong tube. Not like it matters. Like, he still wants to shake my hand now. And I felt like such an idiot.
That's pretty incredible.
And they just kind of awkward, and he walked away.
I still want to shake your hand. I don't care if you just had coughed and there was nothing in your mouth. I'd be so grossed out.
If there was blood in your mouth,
then I definitely would shake it.
I should have just copped to it. Yeah. I understand why you don't want to shake my hand.
I love that he called you out then. Good for him.
Yeah, he did call me right out on it. He wasn't just polite.
We can talk about that when he's on. He's like, I don't want to hold your dirty microphone.
I don't want to hurt your dirty hands, man. You coughing in your hand. You want me to shake it?
Is that your impression of Kevin?
Like Kevin Barnett.
That's baseless. Just like him.
It sounds just like him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You like that? Mm-hmm. I'll do somebody else. Give me another name.
Jermaine Fowler.
Man! I think I only have the one word. Man, these people come around and they saying things. He's kind of got that like...
Yeah, it's tonally.
He's very like mousy, but in a manly way.
Little Duvall.
I can't even. I've had this image in my mind of Lil Duval, and it's forever ingrained. Is him in the wig?
Yeah.
From the
which you guys haven't seen it, season 4.
Yeah, the
guy
wig.
Code, he might have a wig.
Me. So
on at some point.
I can't even imagine how he sounds because of that. Because of that mysterious wig that people.
I'm always jealous of his goatee, his facial hair. I think black people's facial hair in general is very
it's pretty
like,
crisp.
Yeah.
Yours is good too, though.
It's not crisp.
It's not too patchy.
It's full. It's not crisp.
It's lush.
Duvall's is like just lined up.
It's like Steve, what's his name?
Steve.
Eddie Murphy.
Steve Buscemi.
Eddie Murphy. He's got that.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that very lined facial hair.
Maybe I'll try that next week.
It also could be because their skin is darker.
Could be.
They could have patchy chin hair, you just can't tell because of the beautiful pigment.
Like polar bears.
Have you ever said your pickup line on this podcast?
No, I haven't.
Come on. Pretend I'm a girl. All right,
guys.
Pretend I'm a girl.
This is how you pick up a girl.
This is Ryan Ling's version of how
this
you pick up a girl.
Works. this works.
Okay, I'll be the girl.
So let's say you're in a bar, and I walk up. I go,
can I get a Pinot Grigio, please?
Excuse me.
Yeah, what do you want?
You
look like the guy from Night Court. What do you want?
where's your Pinot Grigio? Anyways, excuse me. Miss.
Yes.
Do you know how much a polar bear weighs?
No. How much?
Enough to break the ice. My name's Ryan.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so hard.
You've never heard that one?
No, but I tried to tell it back to him, and I was like, hey, by the way, do you know how much icebergs weigh? Enough to break the iceberg. I'm Ryan Ling. Totally messed it up. I want to use that on guys. I want to do pickup lines on guys.
Girls, what would be your pickup line?
Show me your dick.
It's a good start.
And I would say it just like that, like Oprah. Oprah at a football game. That's what that sounded like.
I feel like you'd be good at picking up guys.
Guys don't want to be picked up.
Well, not physically.
I am good at that. I can pick up a guy.
Why guys love being picked up.
Yeah,
really?
We're so fucking lazy.
If a girl actually comes up and starts talking to you, then you don't, I mean, that takes so much work out of it.
Mm-hmm. Like, but that's then what the do you think about part. A girl that hits on you first?
I'm stoked.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, like when it's happened in the past, I might think she's going to rob me or could be a dude. I don't know. It is a little weird.
See, exactly. You're like, you should hit on a guy. Well, when it's happened to me, I usually think there are thieves or a guy. Go ahead, but you do it.
I guess you could think she's a prostitute if she's that forward.
You see? Now, yeah. You guys see why I wouldn't want to?
But no, I think...
A thief, prostitute, man, male?
It's how you pick up a guy, though. Like, if you were in a bar, you would just, like, say something smart-ass to a guy.
And that I probably would.
The conversation started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by guy, you mean Stamos.
Yeah, John Stamos.
Just by any random guy, you mean John Stamos in particular.
What would you do if you met John Stamos? Do you guys also like how random this podcast is?
It should be random.
Kind of over. Yeah.
I would have him delete all the young Asian girls' numbers he has in his phone.
Is that his whole thing?
Is that his thing? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Isn't that every white guy's thing?
No.
John Stamos is white.
Greek, white. It's the same thing.
Okay. Robert De Niro likes black women.
He's married to one.
Exactly.
Oh, really?
So he could have all the young Asian women, too, he'd want, but...
I just don't want him to have, like, 16-year-old or 17-year-old chicks' numbers. He likes really young girls. Not, like, that young. Not, like, illegal.
How do you know?
But, you know, like, 20s. Like, 20, 19.
You, might have got retweeted by John Stamos recently.
I did.
Can you tell?
Oh, please tell that story.
I actually never heard the story.
I tweet him often, and he's never responded. The only time before he responded was when I was doing, like, a little promotional Instagram photo for a Girl Code episode. I put his face, and I said, watch, learn, Stamos, Girl Code on tonight. And he retweeted that and said, what's this? And then I said, it's my show and also you and me falling in love. No response.
Was it?
I thought it was funny.
What started your infatuation with Stamos?
Life, being born, Full House, hello. I know, it's not a guy thing, it's a chick thing. Any girl who's listening to this knows the deal with Stamos. But recently I tweeted something. I said, I've typed Stamos so many times in my phone, whenever I try to type stamps, it autocorrects to Stamos. And I said I'd still lick both. Pretty cute, right?
That's good, yeah.
You're welcome.
You're picking up guys.
Yeah. And he retweeted it and said, funny. And then all the girls that know that I like Stamos were like, oh my God, he's so in love with you. He knows you exist.
Didn't you get a lot of fan mail or, I guess, internet fan mail? People like making you and Stamos together?
Yeah.
What happened during season one?
There's a few girls that do that send me just like photoshopped pictures of me and Stamos. Me and Stamos on vacation. We're at award shows. I mean, him and I have been around the world together. Paris. At the beach, he's like coming out of the ocean. I'm just there running in my bikini. I've kept them all.
Some amazing Photoshop work?
Yeah. You know, on the fly, sure. Yeah. My favorite is a wedding photo. I posted that one up. It's from when Uncle Jesse married Rebecca on the show.
I used to have it bad for Rebecca.
You had it bad for Rebecca?
Mm-hmm.
See?
She was hot.
She was hot, right?
Yeah.
Becky? I was like, I had it for DJ Tanner.
The Deej.
DJ Tanner.
I thought she was like cute.
Her
and Punky Brewster. I really liked Punky Brewster.
Soleil Moonfry.
Moonfire. I didn't even know her name back then.
That's her real name. See?
Yeah.
I don't know about
Punky Brewster was dope. She had like a black friend on the show. It's like one of the first shows that had like an interracial friendship.
Who was Kimmy Gibbler?
Besides Different Strokes.
Kimmy Gibbler was... No, Kimmy Gibbler was the neighbor from Full House.
I can't remember.
She was the nerdy, annoying neighbor.
Cherry from Punky Brewster.
Isn't Cherry from...
Wasn't that her name?
I don't remember.
I think you're... Oh, wait. Was that her friend's name, Cherry? Because now I'm thinking of Pee Wee Herman's Cherry. Remember that?
I remember Pee Wee Herman's
Penny. The actual chair.
Cherry, yeah. Her name was Cherry.
A different way.
That's right.
I used to have a little Cherry doll. You'd stick your hand and you'd make the chair talk. And that was my friend. That's who I hung out with as a child.
You had a really lonely childhood, huh?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
You know, just me and a bunch of stuffed animals. I used to sing along to cassette tapes and record them and play them back for myself. I had a radio show and I would do like little voices.
We showed us your voice work earlier.
That's really amazing. It's pretty freaking amazing,
pretty
right?
Spot on.
Yeah. It's pretty like, it's impressive.
What was the show called?
I don't even think I had a name, but Count Dracula made an appearance. Evangelical priest.
Would you interview them and do both
voices?
I would
interview them. Yeah. It was a very, you know, it was like 2020 before 2020.
Sounds
very
like
in-depth
performance art
conversation.
I was gonna say about Stamos, I feel like you single-handedly made him the most relevant he's been in a while.
Oh god, and wouldn't it be so funny if I could
if
claim
he appreciated it, he would take you out on a date.
I know. I think Stamos should take me out on a date.
Do you have more Twitter followers than him?
He's got 1 million. I've got like 300 something.
A couple more seasons of Girl Code. A
couple more seasons of Girl Code, I'll catch up.
Then maybe he'll seriously.
And then
get
maybe
involved.
He'll give me the time of day.
Yeah.
God. What's a girl got to do to get a little Stamos in her bedroom?
I'll be honest. I wasn't going to. I feel like I told you this in a bar.
Oh, God.
I was so close to having Stamos surprise
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And Laura's like, he shouldn't tell you. I'm like, it could still happen. I still wouldn't know ever.
Wait, how was this going to go down?
We were going to have her in the makeup room. I don't know. There's a bunch of possibilities, but I was emailing the talent
out.
Department, and I was like, I want Stamos to surprise Jessie Mae. But he's in L.A., so
yeah.
It's like not even a thing.
He'd be like, yeah, I'd come. You could pay me $500,000. She's
or
not worth a free visit.
Or we were going to have him sit down and like interview you in the studio.
That would have been nuts.
Yeah.
I just would have been cheesing bright red. I just would have been like, yeah. I wouldn't even say anything. I'm
makeup
like, uh-huh.
room would have been the way to do it.
Makeup room would have been a way to do it. Yeah. You'd have to do it. Listen.
I tried.
Ryan.
I tried.
If it ever happens, please make sure I have makeup on. Don't do it pre-application because that'll be like anti-guy code, anti-girl code.
Girl's worst nightmare.
Oh, my God. I would have him leave. I'd be like, you need to come back in an hour.
You don't even wear makeup.
I don't wear
makeup right now.
No, there's no makeup on.
That's what you're supposed to say to girls.
All natural. It takes so much makeup to have that no makeup look.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything.
Are girls on Twitter still calling you their spirit animal?
I feel like that's like a generational trend now. Everyone says spirit animal. I used to take screenshots in the beginning. I'm like, what is this? And it's all the time now. Jessie Mae's my spirit animal, which is weird because like spirit animal is like a Native American thing.
Tatanka.
Sitting moon, many moons, the buffalo comes down from the mountains. It's like that stuff. Not, you know, some blonde white chick from Syracuse, New York with tramp stamps.
For those who've never been, what's Syracuse like?
Syracuse is, it looks like where meth used to be real popular, and now it's like meth is kind of like out of work. He's still hanging around. He's not as popular as he used to be, but he still lingers. It's kind of like a leftover meth den. Heroine. But it's nice. Everyone gets so mad at me when I'm home and I make fun of Syracuse. We have like one of the dirtiest lakes in the country, Onondaga Lake. And it's like literally if you go fishing, the fish will just, you'll reel the fish in and it'll just be like bones.
Skinny fish.
Yeah.
Why is it so dirty?
because the factories surrounding the lake would just dump all of their chemical runoff. Like, Syracuse is very gray. You know, like, in high school, you go on trips and stuff. Like, for me, the trip I went to was a sewage treatment plant in my senior year. That was the big trip.
Job fair.
Yeah, they're like, you want to know what happens after you shit? Here you go. Here it is. Here's a big vat of shit water.
It's the end of the story of your shit.
Yeah, your shit goes down the tube, comes into our tube, and we put it into a giant toilet we have here. And then we fucking flush it into the lake.
So gross.
That's Syracuse. I mean, it's cute in the summertime. There's a lot of festivals and stuff, and I had a great, pretty good childhood.
Popular. What do you do when you go home? For the holidays, specifically, since we're coming up.
I go to four different houses, because there's a lot of divorce in my family. Mm-hmm. So it takes, like, six different households to see everybody. My dad's first wife, and then my dad's first wife's new husband, and then her new husband's new wife, and then that woman's daughter's house, and then the mailman's house, because he has to deliver all the divorce papers to everybody.
You bring, like, gifts to all these people?
Me. I bring myself. Here's your gift. I'm here. The comic relief. They all just look at me like,
do something.
Please
funny.
Do something to divert the fact that we are all in one house with four different ex-wives.
That's a lot of chit-chat.
Yeah.
Holidays are all about the chit-chat.
I like it. I mean, everyone's always like, ugh, dealing with family. I love it.
I have a good family, so I never got that sentiment. I just, when I go home, I feel like I'm 15.
Yeah.
At all times.
Do you dig up all the cat bones and say prayers?
I do.
Do you dig up the cat bones and make jewelry out of them?
Pretty much.
Does Ryan know that story?
I don't know that story.
Ryan doesn't know about
Ryan,
this.
Now listen, Ryan's bragging about how great of a childhood he had. Why don't you tell everybody what you used to do all the time, your dad? What do you make you do?
I grew up on a farm. I think I've probably talked at length about that. We had a lot of barns, and with barns, you have to have barn cats. So at one point, we had about 27 to 30 cats on the farm.
What happened to all those cats, Ryan?
I also lived by a major road that semi-trucks used to just fly down. And cats, you know, they don't have a home. They're free. And they got hit all the time. So my job was to scrape these cats off the road. And I think I started doing it when I was like 5 or 6. Maybe
that's a normal chore for a 5-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know,
most kids have to clean the cat box. You're scraping cats off.
Yeah. You and I were cleaning cat litter. He was cleaning up cat carcass.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you're a little kid, animals are your best friends. So I'm like crying my eyes out on a 100 degree summer day with this cat exploded all over the
house. Oh, God.
So I did this for a while, and then I have an older brother, and he used to have a dirt bike, and he would ride around me as I'm doing this, screaming, "Cat patrol, rare!"
Cat patrol.
And this went on for years and years, to the point where my dad would just come in, and he'd be like, "Ryan, Tig died. We need the cat patrol."
At what point did you become desensitized to scraping cats off the road?
Pretty fast.
At what point did you become desensitized to pussy? Is what he wants to know.
Pussy on the road. Road kill pussy.
Road puss.
Immediately.
That's what comics call road ass. We call it road puss.
A little road puss on the cat patrol. So, what do you do with a dead cat? Well, you can bury it, but when you have so many, that becomes a huge chore. So, I would just take them to the back of the property line, which was like 30-minute hike to get to the back of the property line, and I would just take the shovel like a catapult and just fling them over the pine tree line into the woods.
So you would walk 30 minutes with the shovel, the cat on the shovel,
mutilated cat,
just balancing it on the shovel.
Yep.
That sounds like a memoir.
Or I would just drag it on the ground, because you kind of like, God, if the shovel's big enough, it's like got, it's almost like a little bucket. I would just drag it all the way back, and then
throw it
really, really high up in the air to get it over the pine tree.
Feels like something I would see in that movie, Gummo.
Gummo.
Yeah.
Which was based 20 minutes from my house, Xenia, Ohio.
There you go.
So it's
or
Gummo.
Something you'd see in The Good Son. The child
never
who
saw The Good Son.
Was a little bit of a serial killer, had serial killer tendencies.
I mean, I didn't enjoy doing it.
You did a little bit. Him. After a while, you started volunteering. Yeah. Come on.
I was like,
look, are there any cats on the road, Dad? I sure would like to scrape one up.
Once I learned how to drive, it took cat patrol to a new level.
Did you stop naming the cats? So
yeah.
It seems so personal.
Immediately. Yeah.
You just start naming them by the amount of time you think it would take for it to get run over?
I stopped taking care of them. It's too hard, guys.
So, guys, moral story.
Love isn't real.
Love isn't real, and don't put your dead puss in front of Ryan's face. He'll huck it over a tree line. You want your pussy to see pine trees? See Ryan Ling.
But what,
he's on cat patrol this weekend.
But when I was telling Jessamy about this, she brought up the fact that there's this graveyard of cats, essentially, probably with 100 piles of bones.
Yeah.
And so that's like a CSI episode where they're like, look at all these bones.
Who's doing all this?
It's like serial killer stuff. Serial killers fuck around with animals.
I'm not a serial killer.
He didn't.
One in disguise.
He wants everybody to know he didn't kill him.
I didn't kill him, guys.
He didn't kill the cats. He still enjoyed flinging them over
the
tree
line. I did throw them.
The creator of Geico is not a serial killer.
PETA and ASPCA, please be advised. Ryan Ling was not involved in the killing of cats.
I get tore up over dogs, though. When a dog dies, that's bad news bears.
I can't even watch that worse?
On like a movie. It bothers me. I'm the same way.
It's tough.
I cried so hard at Old Yeller when I was a kid.
I didn't go to school for 2 days when my dog died. I was like 17.
I was watching an episode of Total Divas on VH1 and her dog died and I was like, ah, or it was like a cat. But I thought it was a dog. And then when I realized it was a cat, I was like, oh, who cares about the cat?
What would you do if Fozzie died?
Oh my God. He's 10. He's starting to wheeze. The vet says he's got like a heart murmur now. I'm just like, every few days I'm like, I just want you to know I love you. We've had a really good run.
What kind of dog do you have?
He's a Chihuahua. Asshole.
He's on season 2.
Mm-hmm. He's got TV credits. Both my dogs have TV credits. I don't mean to brag, Ryan.
I'm pretty impressed.
I have a pit bull and a Chihuahua.
How many Twitter followers did they have?
Fozzie disabled his account because it got too crazy. And Carlin is dyslexic and illiterate.
That
so,
makes sense.
You know, pit bulls aren't the smartest.
My girlfriend has a Chihuahua that's 16 years old.
Is he still peppy? Because mine is peppy as shit.
Yeah, he's still... Well, she's still pretty peppy.
Is she mean? Mine's an asshole.
No, she's not mean at all. She's just real quiet and sits there. Doesn't do anything.
I wish mine was, man. I call him the 5-pound Mexican asshole. That's his hashtag on Twitter.
He's kind of an asshole. Speaking of assholes...
What? What's your transition into on your cheat
sheet? Here we go. I don't even know what he's transitioning into now.
Speaking of assholes, from your interactions with fans online... I guess in real life, I can't talk. With your interactions with fans, do you think the younger generation of girls are more sexual?
Oh my God.
These days?
Absolutely. I don't even know if it's like more sexual or if it's just less boundaries. I think like kids are growing up now, parents don't really know how to raise them
mm-hmm.
because they're a little bit more in tune with the world because all social networking, so parents are just kind of like, okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I just don't think there aren't any boundaries, but definitely
what
being
kind
more
of boundaries
sexual.
Do you mean
like restrictions? Like when I grew up, you know, no TV meant no TV, and I grew up in the generation where I didn't have a cell phone, so you know, I kind of had to be left to my own brain and actually doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when there's no TV, it's like no TV, but she's got her iPad, she's got her iPhone. Mm-hmm. You take that away, she's got other toys that she can play with.
She's so just Snapchatting kids.
Snapchatting. I mean, it's just there's so much accessibility to everything. I think it's hard to control your kids. So maybe more sexual, definitely, but I think more everything. But girls are just, it's weird. I feel like they're more open sexually.
Mm-hmm.
Like being more open to being bisexual. Because I get a lot of marriage proposals from chicks. I don't know if it's real, but love isn't real, by the way.
It's the theme of today's episode.
That's my campaign. I'm on the Love Isn't Real campaign.
What main age group like approaches you on the street and stuff like that recognizes you and wants to come talk to you?
Like, it varies. It depends. On the street, I mean, it's just exactly like what the demographic is, like 15 to mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of moms, too, come up because they watch a show with their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surprising a lot of guys, too. They're like, I love girl code. But definitely a lot of chicks.
Why do you think girls are more sexual? Do you think it's...
I think girls...
like, we gotta please guys type of thing, or is it just like, you know, they just want to be sexual,
feeling more liberated?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a mixture, but I definitely think girls are more sexual because it seems to be kind of a thing society has deemed cool, mm-hmm. and marketable and just kind of like the go-to thing. And I don't mind girls being sexy and, you know, using that for their advantage, but there's definitely something to be said about girls needing to develop skills before sexiness. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in that, because it's just, you get over-sexualized, and if that's the only thing that you're flaunting when you get older and that fades, what are you going to fall back on if that didn't pay your bills?
I mean, so it's kind of like the hot girl who never develops a personality. Yeah. And then when she gets less hot, she's like, oh.
Personality goes so much further, and it sounds so cliche, but it really does. And all this, like, sexuality, it's okay, but it's just kind of trashy.
I think people need to understand the difference between being sexy and being sexual, because
yeah,
there's really nothing sexy about just
tits and ass in your face.
And like, if you, I don't know, when I was in high school, people were having sex, but it was like not what I would imagine it is now.
It wasn't like commonplace. You really had to work for it.
I was too.
I think there's probably three couples
oh my God.
In my class that, like, you know, dated a long time.
I also picture you in like a schoolhouse in a farm with like 10
pretty much
kids
what it
total.
Was. 90 kids in my class.
I had the same size class.
Really?
Yeah, but we had a lot more teen pregnancy where I was. Yeah. We didn't have like three couples.
Nothing else to do, right?
Two girls got pregnant.
Yeah, teen pregnancy definitely could be equated to like what your environment is. Mm-hmm.
That's what was funny when Teen Mom came out. Everybody's like, this is teaching teenagers to get pregnant. I'm like, since when?
Half my aunts had their kids in their teens.
Yeah. It's crazy. I was going to ask, with Girl Code, do you think Girl Code's a sexual show?
I think Girl Code...
Because I think after season one, I mean, we got a lot of press, like...
The undertone is sexual. I would say the undertone is sexual only because I feel like the overall tone of the show is more celebrating all of the awkward stages, mm-hmm. and all of the things girls go through that they necessarily don't hear from other girls. I mean, there might be like chatter between their friends, but actually seeing it in this sort of platform, especially like the topics like insecurity and being crazy and things that pertain to being vulnerable, I think those are doing a service to girls now, mm-hmm. because that's not something you really learn. Mm-hmm. That's something you learn in hindsight after making mistakes. So I think it's kind of, and that aspect is, it's an educational tool. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's sexual, but it's not.
It's more honest.
It's honest. It really is like your big sister or your sister just being like, hey, these are the things that happened, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just be prepared.
Somebody before this season premiered called it like the new Birds and Bees, like for millennials or whatever. But
it's like the cool kids' Birds and Beads.
It's interesting. I mean,
I think
I feel
just
like
it
would have really helped me out if I was in high school.
Yeah, I wish
I
would
have watched.
Me too.
I would have watched and feel like, oh, I get girls a lot better now. Because I watch it and I still learn stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, like back to the whole sexuality thing, like the one thing that drives me nuts about that is like I was an awkward girl and I remember looking at magazines and being like, oh, I want to look like her. And why isn't my face like this? Why aren't my hips there? Mm-hmm. All those things. And I feel like a show like this kind of makes those things not matter. Mm-hmm. And those things don't need to have value because they don't matter. Mm-hmm. They're not anything that's going to, like, give you character or, you know, make you a dignified person.
Yeah.
Because it's all just superficial bullshit.
Yeah.
So I'm all about anything that can kind of, like, give a girl power from the inside out instead mm-hmm. of, like, breaking herself down because she doesn't have 34 double, triple DH clown tits.
Which are hot.
Which are hot. Hot and hard.
Going back to how we opened.
Just kidding. Yeah, which are real hot.
It's amazing, though, how much energy. I mean, I couldn't imagine being in high school. Now I could imagine being a girl because it's you probably spend a lot of energy consuming yourself with like worrying about shit like that.
It's all about looks now.
So
it's all about looks, and it's almost like I feel like the Kardashians have kind of done something weird. There was like a shift when they started to come out, mm-hmm. just like with their makeup and their hair and just the whole tone of their show, it just kind of, it almost created a subculture mm-hmm. of girls.
I think every generation has that, though. I
yeah, mean, it does.
Before Kim, it was Paris. Before yeah. Paris, yeah. it was, I don't know. Small Wonder.
Small Wonder.
but I mean, hot. I think a show like Girl Code is good for that, too, because you have a variety of girls and how they look.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just have all Kardashian looking girls yeah. on
exactly.
it. You know?
And our cast is super attractive. Everybody's
totally boneable.
Yeah.
I'd finger blast every single one of them. even boneable. Eric, the lumberjack sound guy. Wayne,
Eric.
Too. I'd toss Wayne a little finger.
All right. This is from Michael Hunter 1 at Michael Hunter 1.
He sent 20 questions.
Yeah, he did. I just picked one of them.
Okay. Sorry, Michael.
Because this is actually sounds like a real question, but how would you help a girl leave an abusive relationship? Stage the plan.
Me personally?
That's what
I would go over with a couple of my Italian cousins. I would bust down the door and take her out of there like her knight in shining armor. And then I'd have my cousins teach that guy a lesson, give him a passport to Sri Lanka, and have him be involved in the sex trade over there.
What about your friend who won't leave him?
Oh, is that what we're doing? I'm sorry, I turned it very violent.
No, I liked your answer.
I like your Cheez-Its too.
I think that's hard because a lot of girls get into abusive relationships for the same reason that girls over-sexualize themselves, because they don't respect themselves and they think that's just the only option they have. But if you're in an abusive relationship, you really just have to realize that no one deserves that shit. And if I was going to get her out of it, I would force her out. Kind of like if you needed to force the family member into rehabilitation or even jail. Some people need to go to jail because they're so crazy and they need to get themselves off the streets. I'd put that bitch in emotional jail. I'd take her to my house. I'd lock her in. Take away her keys. I want to give her a key to the house. I'd put her in a bedroom, just feed her. Do a little physical therapy.
The deprogramming. When they get people away from cults and
yes,
shit.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I do deprogramming. Sometimes you have to do that because girls, their brains get set in. It's like the Stockholm syndrome. Yeah. Guy treats her like shit, but she loves him because it's all she knows. Mm-hmm. Get over it, girl. Put some lip gloss on. That was a line from Girl Code. That's a tough one. I mean, you might have to call in reinforcements. But girls out there, don't get in abusive relationships. And most girls have been in them. I think every girl in Girl Code has been in them. I've been in them. They're not worth it. There's so many hot guys and nice guys out there.
Move on, girls.
My name's Ryan Ling, yes.
I was just going to say, Ryan Ling, in your sweater, look it.
It's my captain's sweater.
I know.
This question is from KS_Bluebird.
Oh, yeah, I saw a few of these questions.
What's up with lame Facebook messages from guys hey, or
miss
a random
you.
Miss you?
Yeah, I saw that one. She tweeted that one. That's what I like to call boredom, and nobody else is responding to him. But everybody does that. You toss out a little hey, what's up? How you doing? If a dude sends you a hey and miss you on Facebook, it's because he's bored and none of the other bitches that he's hitting up are responding to him. So you're probably the 10th girl on the totem pole on the way down. Do not respond. Unless he's asking
he's
to take you to dinner.
He's not putting the effort into
he's
it.
He's not putting any effort. See, that's the thing. There's no dudes don't need to be chivalrous anymore because they're social networking. They can just reach out to a girl and the girl will respond. Now is the time for girls to play even harder to get. Because a real good guy will creep through there if he really wants to be with you.
Mm-hmm. It's a low-hanging fruit thing to do.
Yeah.
Hey. Ooh,
if a dude's not putting in effort.
Yeah.
If he's miss you on Facebook, give me a break.
What's the girl version of that for all the guys readers out there? Because girls do it too.
Girls do it too. Everybody does it. Girls say miss you. A girl say, what are you doing? Or you know what girls say? Thinking about you.
Yeah, that's what it's thinking about.
Thinking
you.
About you. And because that's manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
Miss you is kind of a throwaway. It's a little less involved emotionally. Thinking about you sounds like it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So you're she's thinking about me right
what
now.
Mean? What does she think?
What does that mean? What does she It's very open-ended, but a little. We're good at manipulating.
Yeah, you learn it from a young age.
Yeah, we learn it
from
a young age.
So guys stay away from it too? Is that what you're saying? Or just enjoy it?
I mean.
If you're single, go ahead. Respond.
Smash and dash.
You just got to know going in. Smash and dash.
Okay, this is from Ali Bali.
Stop.
That's at Ali Bali.
Three-wise.
You're with only Conan O'Brien and Ron Weasley after the apocalypse. With whom do you recreate. Probably means procreate. And who do you eat for to survive?
Who do you
bang? Oh, my God. Procreate with Conan O'Brien. Are you kidding me? That tall, redheaded fox. Got such a crush on. How great would our babies be? He's super smart. I'm whatever. We'd have great babies. And then the other dude, I'll
funny race of
eat
people.
Him from the shin up.
You're more than whatever. You're you're something.
Oh, I'm more than what. You're more. Ladies, if a guy ever says you're more than whatever, you're something, do not give him your puss. Don't give him your puss. Keep walking. Yeah, totally procreate with Conan O'Brien. And I would recreate, you know, sex scenes from our favorite pornos, if that's what she means, recreate. I love Conan O'Brien. Ron Weasley, put him in between some bread. We're going to eat him. Done. Love me some Conan.
All right.
This one is from, I don't know if it's from Hump Mastaflex or from Captain Carter.
His name that he has on Twitter is Hump Mastaflex.
Hump Mastaflex.
And then he's at @Captain_Carter.
Wow, I like that name. Really didn't That's want good. Us to forget you, huh?
Hump Mastaflex.
Do you want to put in your social security number too? Maybe your address so I can send you a thank you card? What's the question?
He wants to put something in.
Well, single winner.
Hey, can we go drink beers together? You're the funniest girl, but he spelled your.
You know what, wrong. Humpty Captain Crunch, you had me until you spelled your wrong. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. It just involves two extra characters, and it just the fact that you couldn't think long enough to do that really just dropped the ball for me.
You drink beer?
I love beer.
I like beer.
Humpty Dumpty will.
You're not gonna get it with Hump Max.
Humpty Dump. Captain Crunch, whatever his name is. Captain Crunch, Humpty Dump. Yeah, we can go get some beers. Sure. Where you want to go, buddy? Where are we going to go? Are you in jail? Are you sending this message from jail?
In that case, no.
In that case, we're going to do a conjugal visit.
I love beer. I don't like beer burps.
I don't like ham and cheese and beer burps. And there's like a sandwich in there.
Yeah.
You eat a ham and cheese.
I love ham and cheese.
And then a beer.
You know who's got really good ham and cheese? Pret-a-Manger.
Yeah, well, I don't even know how to say that restaurant.
Pret-a-Manger. Prepare a manager.
They have good ham and cheese.
Oh, God. Captain Crunch.
Are you just saying
where are you going to take me for
like
beers?
American.
And I'm telling you, it's delicious.
Okay.
I'll take you to Pret-a-Manger. I'm
going
to take you out fancy style once.
Just buy me something nice.
I'll buy you something nice. You something know what?
A nice sandwich.
A sandwich, slap on the ass.
You're not nothing. You're something.
You're really something. You're something else.
All right. Do you have anything you want to plug?
I hate plugging stuff. I want to plug the air vent that's interrupting our.
This is New York City heat.
I know. And it starts to go pong, pong, yep. Pong, pong. I hate plugging stuff. I know it's like the thing, but I don't know. I'm here. My name is Jessie Mae Peluso. Did we accomplish stuff today? I mean, we talked about farts. We talked about. Big old tiggle bitties.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit animals.
Sexuality.
Beer.
Captain Crunch wanting to put two fingers in over a Coors Light, you cheap bastard.
Finger blasting beers.
He must know me real well. He's like, all it's going to take is a couple beers. Meet me at McCaffrey's, Captain Crunch, in Times Square. Come to Times Square. Let's go to McGillicuddy's and we'll have a brew.
Just wait. She'll show up.
I'm going right now.